You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Good morning, everybody. As Tony said, I'm Tim. I was on the Catalyst video. If you didn't recognise me, I was that one. I'd like to welcome you, especially if you're a visitor. It's great to have you with us. And we'd love to chat to you afterwards if you're a visitor. Even if you're not a visitor, we'll talk to you. But if you're a visitor, we'd love to chat to you and get to know you over a bit of coffee. Is this a bean bag? I'll carry on. Okay, I want to kick off. Before I kick off, I want to say just a bit more about the International Sunday. On International Sunday, we always have international flavored worship, but we need you to bring it. So we've had various contributions from different nations, and I know there are different nations amongst us. I'm saying that because you will need to prepare. Please don't arrive on the Sunday and say, I'm going to do a two-hour worship set in Nigerian. But if you want to contribute with worship from your nation, then please speak to me or Tony, one of the leaders, and we can put that in. It's great. We've had some fantastic worship sets. It's great to worship in different languages. We've had song and dance from Brazil, we've had songs from Nigeria, we've had songs from Pakistan, we've had the Lord's Prayer in Eskimo. We have, and it's great to celebrate the diversity of the church. So please speak to me if you're thinking of, I would love to bring something from my nation. The other thing that we do, if you can dress in the clothes of your nation, or if you're English, because you're British, you kind of do that every week, maybe dress in the clothes of another nation, which I tend to do. Okay, this morning I want to introduce a series of preachers about Jesus, which is our best subject, based on stories and teachings of Jesus from the Gospels. So I want to kick off by reading, what I'm going to talk about today is the fact that Jesus calls us. Jesus calls you, Jesus calls me. I'm going to start off, we're going to read from Mark chapter 1, Gospel of Mark chapter 1, from verse 14. It says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. In many of your Bibles, there'll be a title over this section saying, Jesus calls the first disciples. I want to talk about Jesus' calling, the calling of Jesus. Now, if we were to ask the question, why did Jesus come? There are a number of correct answers. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to give us abundant life. He came to destroy the works of the evil one. He came to forgive us and heal us. He came to bring us back to God. And there are lots of other reasons. They're all good things, yeah? Fantastic things, in fact. Now, if a salesman were to try and convince you to follow Jesus, he would surely start by explaining the benefits of following Jesus. Yeah? Anybody a salesman? Anybody come across salesmen? Earlier this year, we were at Hay Festival, and there was a stall there. They were selling this amazing machine that did everything, cooked everything in every possible way. And they started to explain what it did. And actually, there was somebody who got one, and they said, it's an amazing machine. It does everything. But me, I only had one question. Anybody know what it was? How much does it cost? Being a true Yorkshireman, that's all I wanted to know. How much did it cost? It was amazing, the machine.
We didn't buy it. It was very expensive. And we see from this, it seems, from this passage, that which is Jesus' very first interaction with his disciples, or one of the very first interaction with his disciples, that he is no salesman. Because he doesn't tell them any of the benefits. He comes straight in with commands, demands, and a call to change and a call to action. He starts, in other words, with the cost. And really, they don't understand the benefits of following Jesus for a long time. So he starts in with this command, which is repent, change your life. And he says, do it now. He says, the time has come. The time has come. He says, the time has come because the kingdom of God has come near now. And the reason the kingdom of God had come is that Jesus, the king of the kingdom, has come. Jesus is the king of the kingdom. And he's here now. He was here then. He's here with us now. It was great to hear testimony of what Jesus did in the lives of people. How, you know, the gospel is not just words. The gospel is experience. These young people sensed the presence of God, the presence of the king, like a hand on a shoulder, like a presence inside. You know, the same king is here that is in this festival. Great to go to these places, but the same king is here and he does the same things everywhere. The preacher might not be as good as the preacher at Catholic festival, but the king, no. But the king is just as powerful and he's here by his spirit. So let's be expectant that Jesus wants to work amongst us now. But the king had come and there was a demand for change. He says, repent, because the kingdom of God has come. When a new king, well, he wasn't a new king, but when a new kingdom comes, maybe there's new rules. We have a new rule in this country. Labour have come in, and they're in power. And they're talking about maybe they will ban smoking outside in pubs and public places. And what they're saying is, in this rule, the rules will be different. And when God comes, he has his way of living. His kingdom is where things are done God's way. We pray, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I heard someone say, heaven is where God gets what he wants. But God wants that on the earth. So the first message of Jesus is not come and be healed, come and be saved, come and have abundant life. It's change. Repent. Submit to the rule of God's kingdom. Submit to the king. So that's the first aspect of the call of God. It is God calls us to submit to his kingdom. When I became a Christian, I was a student. I was 19. And I had believed in God. As long as I could remember, I believed in Jesus, but I never heard what I heard then. People said, you need to commit your life to Christ. And I thought about that because, to be quite honest, I had my own plans, and I wasn't really quite ready to submit those to God, but I understood that was what God required, and that is what he requires. That we submit our plans to the king because he is the king. And Jesus said to repent, turn away from sin. And although there was much sin in my life, really it wasn't one particular sin. Well, it was one thing, actually, that God highlighted. And it was this. To give my life, commit life to Christ and follow him, was the right thing to do. And not to do that was sin. It was as simple as that. And all the other sins were kind of I would sort them out as a result of following Christ. And I decided, because I knew it was the right thing, and God was working in my heart to commit my life to God. So that was the first thing, submission. So God, when God calls, he calls us to submit to the king. And the second thing his purpose. Jesus encountered these fishermen and he expressed the message of submission in a very practical way for them. And it was very specific for them. He said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me was the submission. Making them fishers of men was their purpose. He said, "I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to transform you to be fishers of men." Now, if you read the Gospels, you see that the disciples, those 12 that he chose, didn't really have much of a clue what was going on for a long time. So I'm sure they didn't really understand what that was. And you know what? We're often the same. We don't necessarily know exactly what God's purpose for our lives is. You may do, but you may not. But the point is that we have got to submit to that purpose. I want to quote Simon Holly, who spoke at the Catalyst Festival. Quoting Mark Twain. Mark Twain said this: "The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you found out why." Do we have that on the...
We didn't. Oh, I did.
I'll repeat it. Mark Twain said this: "The two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why." We may have an idea of what we want to do in life. You may think you want to be rich and successful, win an Olympic gold medal, whatever. And that may be God's will for you. But God has got a plan and purpose for your life, and he knows better than you. Amen? God knows best, and he wants you to lay down your plan and follow the purpose. Even if you don't know exactly what it is yet, but in heart say, "I want to do what God's called me to do." Now it says of David, and David was a hero in the Old Testament, a king, a warrior, a poet, and he says in the New Testament, he fulfilled the will of God in his generation. He fulfilled the purpose of God in his generation. He fulfilled it. And that's what I want to be able to say at the end of my life. I want people to say of me, "Tim fulfilled the calling of God," whatever that is. And I want all of us to be able to say, "I'm fulfilling the purpose of God." That doesn't mean to say it's in church. It's in the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God is bigger than church. It can be in your work, it can be in your workplace, in your social context, whatever. Not necessarily in church. For me, a big part of it is in church. But Jesus, right at the start of his ministry, calls his disciples to a big change in life, and he calls each one of us, even before he's explained the benefits. So I want to finish by talking about three aspects of following Jesus. Mark 3, next chapter, two chapters on, sorry, says this: "Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons." Three aspects of following Jesus. One, it's to be with him. Jesus said he called to himself those he wanted to be with him. You know, Jesus wants each one of you. He's calling you because he wants you. He wants you. And he wants to be with you. He wants to, and this is the most important thing, the first thing, he wants you to spend time with him. He wants to be with you. He wants his presence to be in your life. Secondly, we're called to do what he sends us to do. For these 12, it was to preach the gospel and have authority over demons. We all have a purpose in our life that God's called us to do, and we need to find what it is. Presence and its purpose. He wants to be with us. He wants to send us to do what he's called us to do. And thirdly, which is not from that passage, he wants us to become like him. In Romans, it says 8, it says this: "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brothers and sisters. We are destined to be conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus. That's our destiny. We know that we're going to be like Jesus. So we should seek in our calling to be with Jesus, to do what he's called us to do, and to be changed to become like Jesus. That is what I want to share. That the first thing that Jesus, his first interaction with his disciples he called, but that he walked with, was to call them. Call them to change, to submit to the King, to submit to his purpose, and be changed by him. And that is the call for everyone, I believe, on the earth. God has created everyone to be with him. And he sent Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to take away our sin, to pay the price for our sin, so that we could come to God to walk with him, to do his will, and to become like him. And I want to say that I don't know everybody here. I don't know everybody online. And maybe you have never responded to the call to say, yes, I submit to your will, Jesus. You are the King of my life. From now on, I'm going to consult you in the direction of my life. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've been to church for many years, but you've never made that commitment. And it is important that you make that commitment. So I'm going to pray a prayer now. I'm going to pray. Give you anybody an opportunity that wants to say, yes, I want to follow Jesus, do that for the first time. If you just close your eyes and bow your heads, and if you're online, I want to give you opportunity as well. If you want to pray that prayer today for the first time, could you just put your hand up, and I want to know that I'm praying with you. Put your hand up and then put it down again. Anybody want to respond to Jesus today and say, yes, I'm following you? Okay, I'm going to pray now. Pray if online you're responding or here live. Father, thank you that you sent Jesus to come and call me to the purpose for my life, to be with you. I want to turn away from a life which is controlled by myself and turn to a life that is under submission to your will, Jesus. I ask you to forgive me my sins and give me your Holy Spirit to help me. Follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. There may be others, you have made that commitment, but at the moment, you're just doing your own thing. Isn't that easy to do? Jesus said that the worries of this life come in and smother the good seed that God sows in our hearts. And sometimes the worry of just getting on with life means that we take our focus on the purpose that God's called us. I want to say, if that's you, then we'd love to stand with you and pray with you. In a moment, we're going to pray. Because if you've gone away from that, you need to come back to the purpose that God's got to you. You need to resolve that in your heart. And I just feel that I just want to wait for a moment on God, because I believe God wants to in some way, bring his rule again in areas of your life that maybe he's not been king. Specifically, I feel that there's, for some people, there's like an invasion of worry and anger in your mind. And you know it's not right, but you're struggling with these feelings. And God wants you to submit them to him, because you know it's not right. Father, I want to pray for anybody here struggling with their thoughts, their feelings. Pray specifically where there's a lack of peace, anger, worry. Well, your kingdom is a kingdom of peace. I pray for peace to come into these hearts. Peace to come into these hearts. someone here that your worry is that you've had a recent diagnosis, you've got to have some tests, but you're concerned as to what's going on health-wise. And I'd like to pray for you. I'd like us to pray for you in a moment. Someone here, you've got some big decisions to make in terms of that affect your finance. Pray for peace in those decisions that this person will be able to trust you, that you are over that situation. Can you just all stand though? I just want to close in prayer. In the kingdom of God, under the rule of God, where the rule of God is fully formed, fully expressed, there is no sickness. And I want to pray for healing. If you need healing, then just... put your hand on the part that is healing, if that's appropriate, and reach out to God. And I want to pray. I want to pray, Father, for your kingdom to come in our lives in a greater measure. Father, if there's areas of our lives that our hearts and minds are not as you want them to, Lord, and pray that we would be able to submit our worries, our fears, our concerns to you, and know your peace and joy. I pray that you bring faith, Lord. Faith for people to trust you in difficult circumstances. Trust you with big decisions about life, about careers, about big decisions of life, Father. That you would bring peace and faith, Father. I want to pray for anybody here that's ill, Father. Your kingdom of healing, in Jesus' name, the name above all names, healing will come right now, Father. Healing to heart conditions. Specifically, I pray in Jesus' name. Pray for joint pain to be healed in Jesus' name.